We have 34 present with us this morning. We're glad to have you each one, say the least. Would you turn with me, please, number 534 as our next hymn together. 534. This song just isn't complete without singing all five verses actually of it. So let's sing together 534. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountain wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert it heard its cry, 'twas sick and helpless and ready to die, 'twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that marks the fountain crack? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are the hands so rent and torn? They pierced tonight by many a storm. They're pierced tonight by many a storm. But all through the mountain thunder-riven and up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echo around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Would you at this time please mark number 675, I am resolved. 675. And turn back to number 599. Mark 675. And turn back to 599. Oh, how sweet 'twill be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet 'twill be, how sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. Thank you for singing with me this morning. I don't know what happened to J.H. to be here along the way, but thank the Lord for the best voice I have and for the opportunity I have to sing with some folks who want to sing, and appreciate you being here today. We enjoyed thoroughly the gospel meeting with Brother Josh Parnell this past week, and it was well attended in this sense, but not well attended in regard to some other things we will look into and find out if we can. But I don't know if we'll ever be able to find out exactly the schedule of everybody and all the congregations round about our area. This time last week, we were looking forward to good times coming. With 48 in the crowd and everything, we were looking forward to that very much. I chose to do some services and for some sermons in regard to after the meeting, in regard to textual studies that are in the Bible very, very vividly for us. If you'll note with me in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you'll see the idea of the creation. That these things just didn't happen. They didn't just come about. They were things that were planned by God, and he carried out that in a marvelous plan. In regard to this matter, we read more about it in John chapter 1. God, who in the beginning found himself working with the Christ Jesus. And as a result of that, this Word in the beginning was there and a part of the creation account. Jesus was there on that occasion, and as a result of that, we find that the world in which we live, we lived under the Lord Jesus because he was there. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning verse 1, it tells us God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom also he made the world, and upholds it by the word of his power. This word is upheld by the word of Christ, by the word of his power. Who made the laws by which we govern things that you and I see vividly around us? We see it very vividly. We see the law of what we call inertia. If you set a ball in motion, it's going to go all the way to the mitt instead of stopping halfway and falling to the ground. Inertia is going to be enough to put it there to the mitt. The force that we have to sustain that way of that ball going to that mitt makes a difference with it. Now, if we do not get that way done, and we saw some guys last night that were pitching along the way, and he found himself throwing a curve that he hadn't thrown all night long, and as a result, it ended up with 56 feet, and it was one that went by the catcher and went by the umpire and behind him and everything, and there was bases that were stolen and taken because of that. The idea was that he did not have enough inertia by the force of his curve, by the twisting of his arm, to make it possible for that to go all the distance that it needed to go. Who upholds the world by the word of his power? Hebrews 1 tells us it is Jesus himself who does that. When we read this word about God in the Old Testament of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, we read the word Elohim. And we realize in the Hebrew text that it's a plural term. It means more than one. You and I studied that in the time of our English grammar. When we got to school, we realized the difference between singular and plural. But because of the singular, I and me and my situation that occurs in our lives, the teacher no doubt started with that singular idea once again. But then as they went on to the plural, when we talk about we did this and it was done unto us, we're talking about more than just one person. We're talking about a group of people that's involved with this. When we find this back here of God creating the heavens and the earth, we realize the plural of that particular term. It means that there was more than one.
There's more than one there at that time. And the place in which God and the Son were there. Notice the Heavenly Father tells us about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The face of the deep. The face of the waters. The Spirit of God is introduced to us back there in Genesis 1 as well. When we read about Jesus coming to this earth and doing the work that He did, we read there in Hebrews 1 that God in sundry times, in various times, in divers manners, different ways, He spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, by whom also He made the worlds and upholds it by the word of His power. And so it is that Jesus was back there in the beginning. And in the beginning, He was found to be a part of the creation of the things of the earth that are there. The rules by which they live, the laws by which they're designed, are things that He upholds. And He upholds them vividly for you and for me and our benefit. All these hundreds of years and now even thousands of years, He has done that. When we find ourselves studying the Word of God about God Himself, we find that He wanted to display His nature to mankind by words that He wrote, by words that He spoke, by words that were given to the people. In Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway," David writes. Thy word, God's word, is a light unto our pathway. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It shows us what we have round about us, and we need that anytime we get up during the night. We need a little bit of light, lest we step on somebody's toy or somebody's shoe that's left out, and we find ourselves stumbling about. If we find that to be done, we wish that we had that light on, and we'll look for that light next time that we get out there, and we'll see that that's the way that we can go and we can be. Safe, and we can be constructive of our business at that time. It's the idea of being a person who does righteously things and good things and helpful things. And thy word being a lamp to my feet is a means by which we walk in the spiritual way of God. If we choose to walk other ways, we find ourselves in deep trouble many times, and we do not realize that the trouble has come because of our own carelessness about our walk. It is said there in the psalm that we utilized this morning in reference to this matter, in Psalm 37, beginning at 25. He tells us that the word of the Lord would guide and direct our daily walk of life because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The idea of the man going forth in life is not an idea that he perfectly steps every step, but that the Lord upholds him with his hand. He upholds him by the order that he has given to him. The words that he has devoted to him and taught him about, these are the things of the Lord. When somebody comes along and says, "Oh no, there's not a multitude of the Godhead. There's just that one God." Well, there's one God. But in reference to this matter, we're introduced to the Son and to the Spirit of God in this particular regard. We're introduced to their work, not being that one person, but another person. In John chapter 14 through chapter 16, we read of Jesus talking to the disciples about His leaving and how that He would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, unto them. And how that He would send this called another Comforter. It's an allos Comforter. The word allos and heteros are used for the word another in the New Testament of our Bible. The word heteros means another of a different kind, another of a different sort. The word that Paul used in Galatians 1 when he talked about those who teach another gospel, which is not another. It's a heteros gospel, which is not the allos gospel that we taught you. Allos means another of the same kind. And when Jesus said, "I'll send the Comforter, another of the same kind that I am. He'll teach you the things. He'll bring to your remembrance all things I've spoken unto you." This is the right things of God. And as a result, we find ourselves following God's way through Jesus teaching us His message and the Spirit of God teaching us by way of the Word that was revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, Paul says, "The words I speak unto you are not my own. the Spirit of God gave me these words that I now speak unto you. Word of the Lord came through the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that word that is out there, we find God's word being arranged for us to learn and to know and to do what He says to do. Because of this, we want to be people who serve God, serve righteously the Son of God, and serve faithfully the word that the Spirit of God has revealed for us all. We find ourselves following God's will, we'll find ourselves in heaven itself someday, because that word will tend to judge us at the last day. When Jesus there talked about this word of God and talked about it significantly in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 49, he says to those people, if you deny me and receive not my word, you have one that judgeth you. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. For the word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father's word that He gave me to teach unto you. And that's the word that I'm now teaching unto you. Notice there in John 12 at 48 and 49, Jesus says, I will judge you in the last day by my word that is delivered to you. By the teaching of the gospel message that He delivered, the good news that He delivered, that will be a judgment scene for them. Are we following His word today and following His will in our daily walk of life? By way of our decision making as to His word guiding our lives, directing our words, we neither deny Him nor His word. Because notice what He said there in John 12 at 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word is doing that to the one who judges him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. When you and I open our Bible and we read God's word, and we follow with the context that is stated there, we find the idea of to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike, the message is the same message of salvation and hope. And as a result of doing that following, we become like they were at that day and time. In Romans chapter 6, when Paul writes to them and says, shall we continue, the plural term there, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Notice that he, along with the brethren there at Rome, had done the same actions of obedience to the Lord. They had been baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. As a result of that, they found themselves in a relationship with the Lord that they didn't have when they failed to do that, when they were before they did that. He thanks God that they were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to them. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When am I made free from sin? When I begin to walk that new life. When I, by my faith, move to be baptized into Christ, I find that new walk of life at the result of it. When I find that new walk of life, I have a way of life that is the Lord's way. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's word. And that's what I'm supposed to teach. How do we work with others in teaching that message? Well, the proclamation of it is public, but the proclamation is kind and helpful and thoughtful. Many verses are cited and given to the context in which they're found, and the teaching that is given there, people understand. People can kind of check it out and shake their heads and look and say, I wasn't taught that before. I didn't know that that's right there. And yet they can see it for themselves and come to that good understanding of it. As a result of that, they begin to walk that new walk of life too. Well, what kind of walk do I do when I walk that new walk of life? We yield the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk of life. That fruit of the Spirit is noted in Galatians 5 to be the fruit of the Spirit that we need to follow. It's a way of goodness. It's a way of peace. It's a way of joy. It's a way that teaches truth and not error. It's a way that looks for good and not bad. It's a way that looks for hope and not discouragement. As we read there about the fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk of life, we read about a fruit that is coming there at the final judgment. In the book of Revelation, in matter of this, in Revelation 20 at verse 12, He tells us regarding that judgment scene, that judgment day, and how that word of God will deliver us to that judgment day, and we'll be judged according to the deeds that we did while in our bodies. We were here on earth, and we were doing the things that we were doing, and the things that we were doing brought us to follow the Lord's way or to continue to go our own way in life. What we're pleading with you today to do is to be a person who does the will of the Lord, who follows His right way, to do the things that He has said to do, be the kind of person that He said to be is the ideal. This song this morning is chosen, and if you would sing with me the first and last verses of this good old hymn, 675, then we will find that to be done. And you can respond to the work of the Lord and to the will of the Lord in your daily walk of life. Would you stand with me as we sing? I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are high, things that are lower, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Thankful for you all being here. If you turn back in this book to number 565, we may think we've had enough showers of blessings already this year, but I thought it'd be a good thing to sing the first and last verses to close this service with today. And the idea of it is the spiritual blessings of God. Let's sing the first and last verses, 565. There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we there shall be showers of blessings if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing when we let Him have His way. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drop round us so falling, but for the showers we Bill Coffin will lead us in our closing prayer.